Yo, welcome everybody to the Ratchet Renaissance podcast. I'm your co-host, Daria Harper.
And I'm your co-host, Raja Dubaya. And we want to welcome you to our weekly Kush-filled convo, where an artsy journalist and a faggot comedian explore spirituality, sex positivity, and society.
Welcome to hell, bitch.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to get things started with a bang.
I love it.
Welcome,
you guys. I just want to, welcome you again. Nice. But we wanted to start off this segment, start with a bang, with our sex fact of our first episode, by the way. It is from Otis from Sex Education. You can't catch chlamydia. You can't catch chlamydia from the air.
Yeah, it is a tongue twister. Also, shout out Sex Education. I love that show so much.
I honestly haven't seen it yet.
I know. I really think you'll love it.
Was the second season or the first season better?
Second. For sure.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
But yeah, specifically from this quote, I do enjoy it from, like, because I haven't seen the show, I don't know the take they made on it, but what I do like, or what I got from it, is this idea that chlamydia is normal, just like any other, like, not to say all STIs, but, like, there's a specificity in an STI versus an STD, and when it comes to chlamydia, gonorrhea, it's an STI. Yeah. Not to say the reason why I'm so familiar with it is because, again, this past month, I got chlamydia and gonorrhea, and it was really this thing that I got nervous about because, like, not to say solely based on sexual stigma, but it was like the biggest like factor in that regard.
For sure.
Where I had no symptoms. I went in for my like routine checkup, and then like they told me, and I was like, oh, that sucks. But then it's also this thing that I literally just went in the next day, got a shot, got my pills, and then I was good. Like, and it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, in an age of like antibiotics and sexual health and advancements in sexual medicines.
Exactly.
Like, why is there like stigma when like the flu and the common cold like happen more often and you're literally catching it from the air?
No, that's true. Even on the show, I think it was interesting, like they did, because on Sex Education, the characters are like in high school, and it was interesting. I think I'm trying to remember exactly when he said it, but basically there was a young girl, and she was rumored to have chlamydia. It was, I don't honestly even remember if she actually had it or not. I think she didn't, but it was a rumor, and literally everyone in the school was avoiding her. Like, she had, like,
the plague.
No, literally like, it was crazy. Yes, and so on the show, also, the main character, Otis, like, gives out sex advice. That's the whole thing, and he's, like, a fake sex therapist on campus, which is really funny, because his mom is a sex therapist. But then he is, like, talking to someone who's, like, being really crazy and, like, judgmental about this girl. And he literally, like, yells and is like, you can't catch chlamydia from the air. Like, everyone is literally acting like this girl is walking around with, like this crazy thing. And it's just, like, I definitely feel like we have also just a little education about it, to the point where, like, if something like this does come up, I feel like people feel so much more shame attached to it because of the, like you said, there is still stigma.
Like, you're now dirty. Like,
exactly.
Because people will even be like, instead of getting negative results, they're like, are you clean?
Are you
clean? And I'm like, yeah, my hole's pretty clean. I like just washed it. You can really throw a load up in there. Like, I don't know what you want from me. Like,
no, that is very real.
It's true. Sexual stigma is like,
What were you gonna say? No. I was just gonna say, I feel like, there's definitely too a part of it, even just what you were saying about, I mean, there's a lot of, like, nuance to this that obviously I'm not, like, an expert on. But even thinking about just different types of, like, sickness and things like this is, like, the way that we do deal with them. Like, it's something that I was reading the other day and just thinking about, like, with all of different diseases or, like, infections and things like this, like, we are human bodies. And it is hard to think about, but, like, illness is a part of the human experience. And, like, so with that, if you're sexually active, like, that is another thing that you have to just, like, prepare yourself for. And I feel like as adults, so many of us are still so, like, just, like, scared about it, or, like,
well, and that's
it comes from somewhat of a valid place. But sometimes, too, I think it's a lot more just, like, fear-mongering, or, like, oh, like you said, if you have this, you're dirty. It's just kind of, like, I feel like there's just still, like, a lot of lack of information.
And I think maybe it's me just being, like, stoned, but, like, the idea of, like, even cancers to me, I'm like, you're having sex, something that is a normal activity, and then you get, like, an infection or a disease from it, and then that's more understandable than people, to me, all of a sudden just getting cancer. Like, no, oh, like, we just deal with, like, also different types of cancers. Like, very different, especially in, like, America, where I've noticed, like, we're supposed to have all these advancements in medicine, yet we don't have, like, cancer drugs and cancer, like...
That's true. Big pharma. Cures? Don't big get me pharma, started.
There it is. And then it goes back to the system of how we're supposed to actually just stay dying.
Stay dying. Like,
until we can get as much labor.
Like, treatment, as opposed to curing. But, yeah, so we'll be unpacking more, things just related to, like, sexual health and wellness, and also, if people have, like, things that they want to discuss specifically, of course, always feel free to write us in. We'll be talking about, like, sex facts. Maybe sex tips would be kind of fun. That would be a thing, too, that we should bring up. So, yeah, if y'all have things that you'd like to add, definitely let's do it.
Yeah, like, we're all little horny beings. beings, yeah. Like,
all like horny beings.
What did you say? Every time I fuck up a word, Ivan or Gabe are like, I could hear them be like, haha, like, did you hear him fuck up? Like, he could say chlamydia. Yeah, I heard y'all.
Oh my God,
all right,
I love
let's
it.
Get but into this Anon play.
Yeah, so we're gonna get into our Anon play.
I'm dating a guy with the funkiest tasting spunk.
You know, I think we should actually just answer Samantha's question this episode.
Let's bring it down for the people. Anon play.
Oh, Anon play. Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, spunk? Yeah. Well, sometimes you can like, have a pineapple, it might taste better. Just fruits and vegetables. We're ready
freshen
to
it up.
Yeah, freshen that shit up. But Anon play, ooh, this is exciting because
give it to us.
Another thing that happened this past month. But not something that's interconnected, I'll tell you that for sure,
all
ladies.
Of the experiences.
Anon play, the idea of connection to me is very interesting because I'm a conversationalist, so it's very much like, oh, we can have a conversation and you are truthful. It's really like, oh, are you at your most truthful?
Mm.
I sadly can get turned on by it, especially if you're really, like, able to just have a, like, nothing even, like, sexually aggressive, too, because I'm like, I know we were on Grindr, and he was very much, like, so essentially, I had an anonymous interaction, and this is where we came with this segment.
Title.
Yeah, title.
Which I love.
But, yeah, the idea of Anon play is really just, like, it could be that both of you can't be blindfolded. It's usually the bottom.
Child,
I was just, this is like, what
it's
is it?
The dangerous.
What is that? Birdcage? What's Sandra Bullock's movie?
Oh my
Bird
God.
Box.
Bird Box.
That's literally like, that's a non play.
Crazy role play sex activity. Bird Box.
But yeah, we wanted to answer one of your guys' questions, but yeah, honestly, there was some shitty fucking questions. Because the one thing I just remember is, who is your Valentine?
OMG.
And that holiday just happened yesterday. My Valentine was this green old girl called Money because I worked.
Money, baby. I thought you were about to say ganja, but...
Oh, shit. No, I smoked after work. So it was like 1:32 already. So that stupid holiday was
over. We had two Valentines. Hey, whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, so...
How was yours? Who was yours?
Oh, my goodness.
She's like,
right.
God.
I'm like, actually, God is good.
God is good all the time.
All the time. But yes, Valentine's Day was cute. It was chill. I think it's a, you know, it's another, I'm not like very huge on holidays in general at this point in my life. But yeah, so we were like, you know, we're going to go kick it, have some food, stuff our faces and drink wine. And yeah, it was great. And then we also had cake. I had a lot of desserts yesterday.
What kind of cake?
Coconut cake.
Coconut,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's so good.
I was actually going to ask because I was like, honestly, going with this segment, I'll be like, I'll be anonymous right now, okay? Daria, I have a question for you.
Oh my gosh.
But seriously, do you believe in the idea of like Valentine's Day specific? Like, is there a need to celebrate it? If you are, how should you do it?
It's funny. I don't think there's a need to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. But I also, like most things, feel like people who want to celebrate it, like, go nuts. You know what I mean? Like, if that's your thing and you really are like, oh my gosh, like, I love this. It's always been a thing. Fine. Have at it. But for me, it's also just like, it is not even to be cheesy, but like, if you are in a relationship with someone who you like, really love, like, hopefully y'all are already doing things like this on a regular basis. Like, that's my thought on it, is like, you should have regular expressions of love. My mom sent in our like family group chat a really cute message yesterday morning. It was like, hi my Valentine's, like, I don't really care about this holiday, but I just wanted to say I love y'all, and I know that you feel the same way I do. Like, anyone who's a real Valentine in your life, you already know what you have. And like, she said that, and I was like, damn, you're right. So I kind of think about it that way. Like, it is, I guess now, if I'm thinking about holidays, is different. Like, oh, just make it a day of love for, like, everybody. Like, I don't think it has to be saying. So, like, romance.
Because the perspective that's, like, obviously different for us is that with you being in a relationship and me being single in that regard, like, for this holiday specifically, it was, like, oh, like, the relationship I'm in is in with myself. So I got my nails done. I, like, got my good old Ono bowl, even though I think they got smaller bowls, but up the prices. Now I'm shocked because I, like,
capitalism.
That, now like, I'm no, shocked. Literally, I just... But whatever. That's a discussion for another day.
Oh, we'll touch on it.
Speaking of discussion... Oh, no. We're not ready. Oh, yeah. We got one more. Okay. Now. What's this lady?
So let's get into our next segment. Tweet talk.
To freedom!
I think, okay, what's funny about that is because she was talking about Harriet Tubman, and what I wanted to bring up on Twitter is that Harriet Tubman has a Visa card that came out right now.
And she's, like, holding up the X.
Yeah,
like,
the X. Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on
here? This is my conspiracy theory, but the reason why I wanted to bring it up with Twitter is someone quote tweeted it, and someone, of course, was like, thank God it's not a MasterCard. And I was like, you guys, stop it right now.
You know what? But you know what?
Fucking Twitter.
Oh my gosh, Twitter is undefeated.
Maybe the context I'm trying to see it as is because we still haven't gotten in that $20 bill. I think that's what they're trying to, like, make us, like, get.
But anybody can throw anything on a card these days, that's right? True. People have, like, Mickey Mouse and photos of their dogs on
But wait, this, isn't that also... Okay, the photo of the dog, I don't remember because I remember personalized ones. But isn't, like, even those, like, always, like, a corporate... Like you're getting Disney points
or you might be mileage or some shit like that. It's some of that, like, reward stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I just... I feel like... Yeah, that's interesting in terms of... It's interesting to me to have Harriet Tubman on a credit card. I don't know. Money, too. I mean, you could... If I can't, like, sit here and try and critique that if I also was like, oh, put her on a $20 bill. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. It goes back to capitalism. Yeah, like, why are we exchanging money when we could just be exchanging the goods that we specialize in, let's say.
No, absolutely. But, yeah, that is very interesting. I would... I want to know more. Because also, like everything, when they make these announcements, it's always like... Projected to happen in 2075. And I'm like, well, what are we talking about? Like,
yeah, I really don't care. Because even that projection for her to be on the $20 bill was allegedly 2030.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. And that was, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe more. So I'm just like, guys, I don't know what to talk about.
Oh, wait. So the actual tweet I wanted to bring up. That's like, okay, let me get
it for tweet talk, y'all. We're going to be just diving into, like, a tweet for either of us or both of us that really stuck out, like, from the week and,
I was going to say, especially, like, with our upcoming discussion about, like, work ethic and professionalism, this one's a very interesting topic about what's culturally going on, about the whole America's Got Talent controversy and what's going on with Gabrielle, Gabrielle Union and Terry Crews. So I'll read Terry Crews' apology, or one of those, because he had a thread, if you will, at Gabrielle Union, or... At It's Gabrielle, you, if I was being right, you are a role model to the entire Black community, and in my desire to be professionally neutral as your coworker, I should have, at the very least, understood you just needed my support. Sincerely, Terry Crews. Now, someone quote tweeted it at Zelly Imani and said, being professionally neutral in how... Let me try that again. Being professionally neutral is how toxic work environments remain so. Gabby was fired for not being professionally neutral, but being an advocate for herself and others. Mm-hmm. You either on the side of the oppressed or of the oppressor. There is no middle ground.
Come on, Zelly Imani.
No, and that was, like, so poignant in the way, too, that, like, it's specific to Black women in a, like, white power and work structure where it's, like... They are always the ones looked at to be the example, but it's also not for them to lead by. Like, we're not supposed to see them as the example either, like...
You just have to kind of, like, fall in line.
Yeah, it's, like, this weird thing, like, they're at the top of the pedestal when, like, oh, what should we do, what should we do? And then right when they tell you what to do, I don't actually want to do that.
It's also just interesting to me, this whole controversy of the, I guess... What is it again? Oh, America's Got Talent. Sorry. Yeah. I was like,
The Voice UK?
goes to show you where my mind's at. No, I'm just kidding. But so the whole issue with that, like, I guess this idea of neutrality and even what, or professional neutrality, is really interesting in what the person in the tweet is bringing up. Because it also made me think about, I don't know if after Terry Crews' response, like, you heard Heidi Klum as well spoke out and was like,
oh, yes.
So Heidi Klum decides to open her mouth and be like, oh, well, I don't know what Gabrielle's talking about. Like, I never experienced any of this. And I experienced, like, the complete opposite. Everyone was perfectly kind and, like, professional all the time. And then when people kind of, like, were trying to check her for that response, she also was like,
oh, there it is.
I've been called a white woman this week in response to what I said. And everybody was like, well, girl, first of all, you're literally a white
woman. You're a white woman. So like, not, that was it.
Like, there's no offense you can take to this. Like, none to be taken.
They literally were just pointing out.
But also, it's like, yeah, girl, no shit, you didn't feel the same thing she did because you're white and she's black. Like, that's the whole crux of this argument. It's like that I experienced this because I am a black woman and y'all are trying to like say shit about the way that I'm conducting myself and like participating in this business or this, you know what I mean, like media outlet. And then Heidi Klum is like, I never experienced that. Everybody was nice to me. It's like, yeah, girl, that like, thanks for proving
you.
My point.
Thank you for literally
like I just was like, I read that and I was so confused because I was like, how can you not understand that? Like, that's kind of wild to me.
It's the obliviousness, but it also goes back to neutrality too that I was thinking about, because when you even read it out, it made me think about especially like moderates when they're like, oh, we don't talk about politics at the table. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like when you come into your workplace, you're not supposed to be somehow that progressive that you are. Yep. Like, and so going to your identity and things that are seen as progressive, but it literally just goes back to like at least with me, like when it comes to queerness and stuff like that, it goes back to like, oh no, this is just how I am. It's not a political statement.
Yeah.
Black women too, it's like, why are you making them a political statement when it's literally them just being within their identity?
Exactly. Like, I'm living my life and you're like, oh, sorry, could you tone it down?
Tone it down.
Yeah, like you said, making things political. And we know like that there is political, it's always like attached somehow, but still it is like you can't literally try and police people for living
your life. Yeah, because like the two words is political, and then what I was thinking of is professionalism. Like when it comes to the work system, it's like, oh, are you being professional enough? And then like maybe in your real life, like, oh, where your politics stand goes back to the idea of your professionalism or what you think professionalism is.
Yeah. Oh, that's so real. Well, speaking of work, professionalism, all of that, let's talk a little bit more about it in our Dank Discourse for the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Hey. Okay, let's start this. Well, welcome, Gabe. Do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah. Blessings, everyone. Thank you, first of all, for having me on here. Do I tell them what I do? What do you want from me?
Because we're talking about work and professionalism. Like, let's just say, what do you do for work?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that means to you also.
For sure. Because I was just going to say, like, there's a lot of meaning behind that. But I essentially just make photos. That's what my life comprises of.
Yeah.
So I'm a photographer.
They're beautiful photos. Do you want to put that platform out there?
It's just at Gabe Mo Rivera on Instagram.
We will put link in description box.
Of course, always.
See some cool shit.
Tag you.
So what our discussion is about. So right when we asked you about what you do for work, we're trying to explore the ideas of work ethic, professionalism, and like not only our understanding of it, but then also the world's understanding of it and how we felt like we've been learning and unlearning through that. And what we wanted to share with you first is good old Oxford Dictionary version of it.
Which I also have to say, you said earlier it was so funny, the oppressed definition.
Oh, yeah, the oppressors.
We like to kind of, because we like to give that, because we're always like, oh, what's the dictionary definition? Then we're like, oh, but fuck the dictionary. Like, it's the oppressors.
So
we're going to do this just to then bring in our...
Understanding. I think that's what's so interesting about trying to gauge your own experience as something that is now needing to have a definition for it. I'm like, if your understanding is the definition of it, why do you need Miss Oxford?
You formulated this for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, literally. Yeah. So technically, with work ethic in Oxford, it says the principle that hard work is intrinsically virtuous or worthy of reward. And then something I wanted to share too, because when I like Google searched it and then looked down, there is a question that people also ask, which is, what are the 10 work ethics? So I didn't know there was 10.
What? I didn't either.
Allegedly.
10 commandments? That's some, that's some weird shit.
Let's talk about it. Why 10?
Be content. 10
and 10.
No, I'm just kidding. Me just goes back to that. I'll do that. But the 10 work ethics allegedly are appearance, attendance, attitude, and allegedly attitude is in bold for some reason.
This is really weird.
Character, communication, cooperation, organization skills, productivity, respect, and teamwork. I'm so sorry. You wanted to say something.
I definitely wanted you to finish. But it is, you finished so fast. I didn't mean to rush you. But I forget which one it was exactly that you said. I think it was, it starts with appearance. To me, that is just like, I mean, thinking about conditioning and like how well thought out so many of these different like ideas are that we have and the conditioning that we get, it's like it really permeates through every aspect of that thing. Like thinking about appearance and how you present in professional spaces, I think is like such a site for what's the word? Not really. Well, actually, it can be. I think like anxiousness maybe. And I just think that as like the first one that they list is even interesting to me. Like, oh, right out of the bat, like, do you fit what you should look like? Like, what do you look like and how
does this fit into it? I didn't know you had to have a certain look for work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's all, like, I feel like that's the crazy part of, first of all, I never knew there was a 10.
I'm so glad you said that, because then also going to then the source that I found this out.
Yeah.
It was then, okay, I'm not saying this is, like, Oxford, because this is what fucking sucks about Google, is because this was, like, a what people ask, they share you, like, the most, like, searched or looked at.
For sure.
Yeah, source. So this is technically from the Georgia Piedmont Technical College. So I just don't know who is actually worldly being like, these are the 10 work ethics, because it's from this Georgia.
So but that's the thing about it that's like really weird, is that it's like we are just all comprised of like these weird systematic things in life.
Yeah.
And like we only know those things because that's all we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like you can find your own way through all that, you know, through what it looks like to have a good work ethic and being professional.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. Deary was blowing on. I'm so sorry, but Deary was blowing on her goddamn Mac because there was Ash on the keyboard, and all I was trying to do was listen to Gabe like going in on this work ethic and systemic problem, and all I hear is. I was like, what's going on?
I am so sorry for this.
But yeah,
my energy. It's a little distracting. I'm back.
Oh, we're back. But yeah, I know we'll get into more as we go on, like to speak on like certain things, but
yeah.
We just only know what we know.
And so I actually had a question for you when you were talking about like what you were knowing or understanding of, like even there being like a quote-unquote dress code or something like that. So, like, the idea of uniformity, you understand sometimes, like, private school or, like, even what you were saying at, like, App or something like that, I'm sure you already had, like, a set uniform or something like that. What I've now noticed, and this is something coming from, like, a millennial workforce that I've noticed, is that they will have lax dress codes or, like, dress codes that aren't actually implemented until you then see someone from management or something like that then being like, oh, actually, that's not professional. But it has nothing to do with your work ethic. So I think that's what my question was for you, too, was, like, if you've ever entered, like, a workspace or field, like, I'm all for not having a uniform, obviously. Same. But would I... maybe now I'm even trying to think about it, like, how to articulate this question in the way of, like, obviously, I don't want a uniform, but would I rather have a uniform because I know that's the set principle or code that they will not to say see me at my fullest, but if you're already following that rule because it's so set in stone, is it better to have that rule than to have like this lax dress code that is always policed or like looked at as like that's not professional?
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of the whole thing with like systems and things, is that they're supposed to like create like safety nets or like control or border or like
safety net is an interesting word. Yeah,
it's just like weird.
It's structure. It's
because we need structure in life, but it's like to what extent?
Yeah, I feel conflicting ways about even just like the idea of uniformity, I guess, because I feel like it is also complicated in thinking about maybe what is it like school versus
workplace. Yeah,
so I feel like that's kind of tough too, because people have very specific and to me kind of like sometimes weird ideas about why, like, schools need uniforms, just about, like, young minds and shape. Like, I don't know. I feel
molding
and, like, shaping in a certain direction weird, where I'm like, yeah, that is really weird. But then I'm also like, you know, that's the other thing. Anytime that I'm like, oh, I see both sides of it, the one side is, like, thinking of it as a business and the capitalistic
you
nature.
You see that one side because
like,
you have to see that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, of course I have to see
cool,
that.
Man. Like, I just wish, truly, like, this is really, like, from the bottom of my heart, I wish that I feel like we are, like, we get here, we're in this world, and then we're just trying to fully express ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking this long journey to try and do that. And you're kind of fighting as your own person these different things that pop up along the journey. And when you start destroying those things, you realize, like, it's kind of a a lonely place to be because you're finding out things for yourself.
Yeah.
Things that work for you, things that have nothing to do with anything you've ever been taught. You know what I mean? It's like really interesting.
There's a question I have for y'all because this is literally what I've been thinking about, like journaling too. I think there are people who live to learn and then people who learn to live. And that's the like the journey. Some people are literally just like, I'm here to live. Let's do this. Like, live. Well, that might go with, sadly, like forms of excess, shit like that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because of like, oh, I'm just living. But then other people are literally like, well, I don't know how to live. Like, let me go to the media and shit like that and find these. But like going to into outlets that are actually not teaching them truly how to live because they're just being taught to be taught.
Yeah. I think there's a source of like, I think there's definitely a source somewhere that we get like these answers or like, you know what I mean? I think it's ourselves. So it's like, you know, you just gotta, I don't know. I feel like everybody knows the we already know the answers.
Word.
The we things just that we need to do, you know, it's just inside. We got to somehow find that for ourselves.
I mean, also just thinking about in terms of work, like I will say, Gabe and I have had conversations about, differences in like type of workplace because I feel like that's another thing too in talking about like work ethic that we want to try and explore too is like thinking about the different ways that there are to do work and that like people have such strong ideas about like what qualifies as something that's valuable or whatever. Like it's always still gone back to like productivity and like contributing to society or whatever, but it's also like when you've decided for yourself that work is not from a sense of like labor, but truly like what you love to do. For instance, you make images. That is something that you work at and like it, you know what I mean? You make money doing it, but it also is just a part of your life and who you are. Yeah. So I feel like that is an interesting distinction too of like, it's not that you have to like say, oh, this is the only thing about me or like this is my, I'm only a photographer. Obviously, like you're a complex human, but I just think it's interesting, too, of thinking ideas of, like, freelance and how much that has become, like, a normal way for, I think, a lot of millennials to think about work, too, even just also because of, like, the economy and shifting, like, jobs and all of that. But I just think that, yeah, like, I feel like that's actually a lot harder, too, than people realize. Like, I feel like people always think of freelance or non-traditional types of workplaces or work flows as like an easy way out or but I'm like that is an extremely difficult kind of like you're like then it's in the work structuring your
it's literally like you're trying to be free from this capitalistic model
but then you can't be.
You can't be
like part of my daily life part of my I feel like part of my daily life is like realizing that what I love to do is not set up in this society. I'm not set up to do this fully. Yeah. And I have to, like, there's days where I have to ask myself, like, if there's nothing else left in my life and this is all I do, like, would I keep doing it? You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like then you go into, like, just difference in lifestyles. Like, some people just live a certain lifestyle where they don't need anything. Or people that need a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it's just, like, really complex because when you think about what you love to do and what's considered work, you know, everybody's like, oh, if you do what you love, you never work like a day in your life. And you know what I mean?
How but we don't live,
I mean, I think that that's what people think is the American dream. And that's like really hard to do.
It's hella hard. Because
people really think of the American dream as just like, well, we know what it is. It's just like Wall Street. It's, you know what I'm saying?
It's this like fascination with like, not to say white assimilation, but it's like this idea like, oh, look at that white
you're
man
buying
like, living
into
this
another system of life. You know what I mean? It's like, and maybe it's a little bit different than where you came from, but it's like its own weird.
I think that's what was, I was also like thinking about when it came to like spirituality, specifically like my own ancestral understanding of it. Like, it's frustrating when it comes to, like, learning about India in America because you're like, oh, like, I would love to learn about this in India. But then now, because India's trying to decolonize themselves after partition in 1947, like, the India that was, like, old. And that's what's so funny, too, thinking about, like, old India because I'm not trying to be, like, that funny thing where we're like, we were kings and queens. Like, no, I'm not trying to be like that. But I'm trying to say, like, our ethnic understanding of ourselves was so much more based in our ethnicity and like ancestral knowledge rather than being like, oh, what did this like colonizer or oppressor like tell me this is the life I need to live? And then like finding like middle ground of like, okay, well, this is what I actually believe, but this is what he's telling me to believe, and how can we like live
you know, I really feel like that's where ego is birthed.
In what way?
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like as people, human beings, as animals, like we just know what to do in life.
Like instinctually. You know what I'm saying?
But then when we get told, then I think when it really started was when we got told other things instead of just fully being able to be who we are. Like, and that's a very like primal state, I feel like, but obviously we're far along now, but I feel like it just there's just more noise. And so then that creates like a second you instead of you just being who you are.
I think what you're saying.
So you're constantly going within the two people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
these two, like
because when you also even brought up animals, like, so you're saying, like, the first being, our true being is just the form of identity and expression that we hold and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like,
and
that's
then, just, like, as a being.
Mm-hmm. And then the second thing goes to the idea then, again, me just thinking of, like, animal, is then animal kingdom of, like, then survival, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of life shouldn't be about survival, it should be about living.
Correct.
Okay.
That's exactly, yeah. Like, we don't live, I don't see enough people living life.
A lot of people are surviving, though.
Yeah, a lot of people are surviving, exactly.
And that shouldn't be living.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like they've become
conflated. But that's been
conflated.
Made people's, you know what I'm saying? From whatever you come from, it's like, you
that's
might,
the norm.
It's like there's a deck of cards and you get to pick one.
Yeah.
And there's something like made for you already. You know, it's weird.
Also the surviving and I even think of it, I feel like it goes a little bit towards like the idea of like hustling. I feel like this, like that mentality or just like idea, I feel like is instilled in people and kind of like something that we all or a lot of times we'll glorify. Like I can even think of
it's like the immigrant experience is all about like the hustle
like I can't, of course, because Raj and I always talk about like similarity between our parents. My parents were not immigrants, but and I want to hear you talk more about that too, but yeah, like even thinking about my my dad and like just different lessons and things about like work ethic, I do remember that was always like a huge conversation that we would have in terms of like everything that I did. Like, okay, if it's academics, then it's this, like, you need to be the best one doing it. If it's this other, like, if it's dance, if it's any sport, like, you have to figure out how to put all of yourself into that because you have to be like the best at doing it. It's all about repetition, it's all about precision, like, all of this. Like, that was his thing, and I think that over time, it definitely became something that I was like, oh, well, like, that's it. Like, if you're not doing that, then you're not doing shit. Like,
well,
that started to become
that's the hustle
my mentality.
Yeah. Like, if the hustle is every single day and, like,
whereas
it doesn't
now I'm
stop.
That
well,
a lot.
Because then it goes back to the idea of how we're in capitalism.
Yeah.
It then goes back to then, well, this is then just black and brown capitalism.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
The hustle is also so much more, like, worth for us because our hustle, like, that's the scary thing now, what I actually just posed. When you when I was like, oh, do people learn to live and then other people live to learn?
Mm-hmm.
I think in capitalism, and that goes back to like white privilege and how capitalism is made from a white model or a white patriarchal model.
Yeah, yeah.
Like white men are like made to live to learn. Like their way of like production, in my opinion, is that like they're able to do that because their hustle isn't about like actual survival and like that instinct. Whereas when it comes
other
to black
people,
and brown capitalism, it comes from a place of like, oh, well, I didn't have this actually like when I was a kid. Or again, immigrant experience too, specifically.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I moved here for this quote unquote better life.
Yeah.
And so why am I now not allowed the luxuries of this?
That's
because
true.
He's the one who told me this is what I get.
And it's tough too. Yeah. Like balancing that. I feel like it is a very delicate balance of like what we're trying to like understand now of maybe pushing against those ideas of like having to fit into these different places versus what our parents might think, because it's like still I just feel like this disconnect of them seeing like instantly equating anything less than that with like laziness, where it's like we're I will say like I personally am trying to say kind of a similar point to you, Gabe, that like people's whole like you as a human shouldn't be attached to like what you can produce and what how much work you can do.
Exactly.
Like we weren't put or however we ended up here on earth, like we're not here, I don't think, just to be like a cash cow and figuring
for
out
sure.
what job you can do, what you can do the best way you can be. Like I think there's just vast, there's so many other things that we can be doing here. But if I say that to my parents, it's like, oh, well, girl,
understand.
Go get a job. Yeah, like, it's like,
this hippie
dude
with
this
biology.
Yeah,
but
that's the thing.
It's
like,
very, like, complicated because I'm like, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, we don't need to do shit
exactly.
ever. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you also have to understand, like,
the model
why
needs
you
to
think.
Flip, like,
yeah,
you know
and, like,
what I mean?
The reason that you think the way that you do for a large amount is because you were forced into that. Like, you had to, literally, like we said, in order to survive. So if we are trying to push past surviving and, like, live more fruitful lives amongst each other, then there has to be, like, we have to somehow get past that. Because people, then, that's how people end up with all kinds of, like, just bullshit. Like, yeah, like I feel my, like that's like, what we have so much.
I feel like my mom's goal was just to get here to the U.S., you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, that might have been my parents' mission, you know what I'm saying? And I have to be okay with that, but now I have, like, my own shit that I want to do. You know, and it's taken on, like, a way different form
than
I could ever imagine, and, like, that they don't even understand.
No, that's
fair. You know?
Yeah, it's, like, sad to experience that disconnect sometimes, too, because you also grew up seeing your parents, too. Like, I think that's what's so interesting, too, like, having, like, now lived 22 years on this earth and then seeing the, like, specific shift in, like, even comfortability, let's say. Like, my parents got more comfortable and I was happy because of that. But then I also saw, like, what comfortability can do to your mentality of, like, oh, well, like, why are all these bad things happening to people? Because it's like, well, like, just because you were getting comfortable doesn't mean the whole world was getting comfortable.
Like, the come up.
It's that come up mentality where it's like, oh, just because you as an American dream, an immigrant story was able to succeed doesn't mean I'm going to stand for the national anthem, mama. Like, there's different things going on. Like, intersectionality exists.
Like, all of these things are true at one time. That's so true.
But it's been cool recently because, like, I feel like I've been talking to my parents more and they've just been like, I feel like they're kind of seeing it. You know what I mean? I feel like they, I grew up like just super conservative house, very like strict. And now I'm seeing like, well, I've been seeing it for the past, like, I guess a year or two, but they've been like really loosening up. Like, I just felt like the household was always just mad tense. You know? And so I feel like they've been kind of doing their own thing as they're getting older and they're like, I feel like their minds are opening a little bit more. So I'm super thankful to see that. Just because I feel like that's what we all need. You know? Like, to just see outside of ourselves for just a little minute.
Well, can I ask you something? When it came to the conservative thing, do you mean, like, conservative in the way, because when I think of it, I, like, sadly think of, like, the, like, scope of, like, white conservatism? Or is it yours more so about, like, traditionalism and, like, this understanding of, like, because traditionalism also comes from this place of, like, a colonized, like, ethnic mentality, too, where it's, like, it's that half of, like, oh, these are our ethnic understandings of ourselves, but then also us trying to be adjacent with.
I mean, it gets a little, like, tricky for me because my parents split when I was three. So then when my mom got remarried, she remarried to a white man. I love Dana. He's, like, that's my pops. He raised me, you know what I'm saying? But not to say that it came from, like, a white, like, viewpoint. Well, obviously it did. It just is what it is. But I never really felt like I could really express myself, like, at a young age. So I feel like that's why now I'm like, I feel like I'm reliving, like, I'm getting to live life again, or like there's a new life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I get to see for myself, like, make my own opinions. You know. And so, not to say that they were just like, it wasn't like a lockdown mentality, but just very traditional.
You're also a child. Like, that's what's so, like, frustrating about, like, an adult or a parent's look at a child, too. And I hope that's what changes, too. Is like, oh, your child is 100% right in what they say in regards to, like, their expression and what they're trying to express. And, like, clearly if something's, like, bad or, like, phobic or whatnot, it's like, hey, let me, like, explore that and try that and address that with you. But, it's really interesting.
I just feel like, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm realizing that everybody, like, what people say and do is just a projection of themselves and, like, the shit that they've had to go through. So I never, like, fault my parents or anything. Like, they've taught me so much stuff. But, you know, like, I realize that they only know as much as what they know in life. And not everybody knows everything. And so we have to be a little bit more, like, understanding of that side, too. But obviously not taking, you know, bullshit or anything.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure it'll happen again for us, you know? If we end
What I wanted to see.
I really want to be, I feel, and I bet my parents felt this way, but I feel like I want to be tapped in forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, always be in the know.
Not like the other moms. I'm a cool mom.
No, but that's what scares you, because then you're like, I'm the cool aunt. And then it's like, it's one or the other.
Yeah, but I've seen it, like, I've seen that, like, actually. I've seen people like that very rarely, and I'm like, damn, this is how I want to be. I just want to be very open-minded.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if we ever have kids, if that's ever, like, in the future, I can like just do it better.
Yeah,
that's what I was given. And I think that just is the cycle. That should be, you know what I mean? Like we're just getting better, you know?
Yeah, it's like we understand that everyone before us was doing
at least I would like to think that.
No, I was thinking about
I believe in the good, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I really do believe that. Because you know, the whole conversation started about like work and work ethic, worth, all that. Like what the fuck did I just say?
No, that's what I'm like.
Work ethic, worth, and something else. But all this
professionalism.
Yes, professionalism. Like all this, all I'm saying is I feel like we should be able to create that narrative for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Even though you know what I mean? We live in this country. We have to abide by some rules. But I believe that we can kind of create our own, like, universe for ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, I really think it's important for us to be able to do what we want to do and feel the things that we feel. If you want to try something, like, do it. You know what I mean? And I just don't think I think we don't understand what freedom really is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're also not tapped into like sensuality as people. Exactly. Like I feel like we're not
completely there.
Like experiencing feeling life. Anything, yeah.
Like, or at least anything that is actually from the earth. Like, you know, I just feel like so much of our lives are just disconnected. Mm. You know, like we're just like
anesthetized. Shout out Ivan for that word. That's a great word.
You know, now I know why people retire and then like move to like fucking middle of nowhere.
I thought you were going to say Florida. I was like, no, I don't understand that at all.
You know what I mean? But people are like, yo, I just want to feel. You know, I'm done with... it's crazy.
For sure.
But I think even retirement, like, that's the idea to me about, like, the mode of production and how much they rely on, like, the quote-unquote low class, like, in that regard of...
Yeah.
Like, it comes from a place of privilege for us to be like, oh, like, I want to live my life and be able to do that too.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, some people are just literally just so confined to capitalism, especially when how bad the poverty rate is right now. It really is like, oh, some people can't even do that.
Why am I working in hopes of having a good life?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like 60.
Yeah, like, I want to live my life now, so fuck you guys. I want to do what I love, and I believe in it so much that I feel like it'll take me exactly where I need to be.
Yeah, they really
do. That's the idea of savings, too, because who's to say your savings won't just, the bank crashed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, like, all of this
where
is just
kind
of, like, being
it's
held in
dangling.
Place very, like,
delicately.
Yeah, haphazardly is the right word.
And
I'm
they
just
set
like,
this shit up in the craziest way.
Like, why
us.
Am I going to stress myself over small shit? Like, I can't do it anymore.
It scares me too, though. Wait, right when I said this is a big crash, though, it reminds me of the Great Depression happened in the 1930s, and then how, like, when everyone's, like, history repeats itself, I'm like, I really am, like, fearful, though, for this century's, like, idea of, like, what was, like, a financial, like, crash. Because that's what's scary about the Great Depression, too. It, like, wiped so many people out, too. Like, people,
terrifying.
So many people died. Like, and it's this idea, too, like, where it's frustrating when, with the idea of so many people dying, like, it goes that idea of their knowledge and their power being taken away too, because then now we have to relearn everything.
Exactly.
Because again, those were the people who were in like the lower class who actually knew a lot more than all these.
That's fucking crazy.
Kings and queens, if you will.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. It's literally just all of this is held up haphazardly, like one just stacked on the next. You know, and it's like
pull the right Jenga block and
you might knock this all down.
We just need to knock it all down.
It's knocking it. Yeah.
Word. Well, I really like where we went with it.
I was gonna say, we went.
We dug in.
And then I took a turn.
But yes, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Gabe.
I appreciate y'all
for joining
us.
Thank
you so much
for joining us. Like I said, we'll share.
All three, y'all.
Yeah, we'll share your
who's the third?
Share your work.
Just kidding.
We'll share your work in the description
box. Ivan Cabrera.
And everybody follow us on Twitter and Instagram and stay tuned for next week.
Thank you for joining us.
Adios.
This episode was audio engineered by Ivan Cabrera.